My name is Lee Hawkins. I've been a journalist for over 25 years. On my new podcast, What Happened in Alabama, I get answers to some of the hardest questions about how things came to be for many Black Americans and the truth that must come before any reconciliation can happen. I investigate my family history, my upbringing in Minnesota, and my father's painful nightmares about growing up in Alabama. What Happened in Alabama is a new series confronting the cycles of trauma for myself, my family, and for many Black Americans. Listen now.
Traditional revenue sources for public media, and really the media at large, are declining this year, and we at Marketplace are not immune to these trends. We're currently tracking behind target for this budget year. We are tightening up expenses, but the need for trusted, grounded, fact-based reporting is as pressing as ever. We can't cut back on our mission, so we are turning to listeners like you. Please step up now and invest in Marketplace. If you haven't yet given, now is the time. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
Farming protests plow into Italy. Hello, you're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report, live from the BBC World Service. I'm Leanna Byrne, and a very good morning to you. The protests, they began in Poland in spring last year. Now they spread across Europe, including in the Eurozone's biggest economies, Germany and France. Now Italian farmers are threatening to bring Rome to a standstill. They say they're taking a stand against red tape, higher costs and competition from cheaper foreign imports. The BBC's Mark Lowen is in Rome, sheltering from the wind behind a tractor. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Leanna.
Mark, what's going on? I believe farmers were actually protesting at a music festival last night.
It's been quite a few days of sort of tractors and farmers waiting for their next move, actually. I mean, I'm now just beyond the ring road of Rome, and there are about 400 tractors here, they estimate, waving their Italian flags with various slogans and banners. One I'm looking at now says, Il mio futuro è il tuo futuro. My future is your future. Another one's talking about, you know, we are the ones who create the food. It's not made in factories. And they have asked for a meeting with the agriculture minister and indeed with the prime minister. And unless they get a meeting with either minister, they have said that they will go into Rome and start blocking streets in Rome. When it comes down to their demands, they are largely shared with the other protesting farmers in Europe. It's a general anger at rising costs, at excessive environmental regulation, at cheap imports from outside the European Union undercutting them, and they want a complete rethink of Europe's agricultural policies.
And so what's their reaction been to these protests?
Well, the government has tried to do a bit of give and take with them. You know, the Prime Minister has talked about how she had pushed, for example, for the amount of money given to agriculture to be increased in the post-COVID recovery funds that every EU country got and which Italy got the largest share of. And the Agriculture Minister has also said that he has offered a meeting. I think they're sort of waiting for a confirmation from that. But I don't think you get the sense that there is going to be sort of pelting with eggs or the sort of blocking of mass roads that we've seen in other capitals yet. But that, of course, could change as other groups bust in.
Yeah, we can hear those tractors going in the background. What's the reaction been from the general public as well? Are they supporting these farmers?
There is a lot of support for the farmers because, you know, this is one of the important farming nations, of course, in Europe. That said, there's a feeling that, you know, quite a lot of compromises have been made already in terms of, you know, that the VAT that farmers pay on basic foodstuffs is much lower than the national VAT rate. And there have been compromises in the past. So I think that there would not necessarily be kind of whole-scale support if the protests got violent. The main agricultural union here, Coldiretti, is not supporting these protests. That in itself shows you that this has not necessarily kind of captured the national mood in a way that perhaps it has in other countries.
Okay, Mark Lowen, thank you so much for joining us on Marketplace.
Pleasure to talk to you.
Farmers in Hungary are also on the move. They're heading to the border with Ukraine to protest against a proposed extension to a duty-free import deal. Now, let's do the numbers. Yesterday, global cocoa prices hit new highs because of dry weather in West Africa. It's now almost $6,000 a tonne, double the cost since last year. And shares in Nissan Motor closed down 11% after put out disappointing third quarter results. Stock markets are closed in many Asian countries ahead of Lunar New Year celebrations, which start tomorrow. And FYI, it's the year of the dragon. As millions of people in China head to their hometowns to celebrate, they're also hoping a struggling economy improves. The BBC's Laura Bicker reports from Beijing.
Some New Year wishes need spiritual intervention. Many young people in Beijing come to the Lama Temple to pray for a job. A slowing economy means millions of graduates are out of work. This dragon year, they're clinging to the hope that will change, as well as dressing up for the occasion.
The economy has been sluggish. You need to have good ideas and back yourself. But praying to the Buddha and burning incense, that will also help.
Happy New Year!
Even the very young have their future in mind. I want to get top marks in my exams every time, says this 10-year-old.
There we go.
At Beijing train station, families are bundled up and loaded up for the long journey back to their hometowns. And with good reason. The sun may be shining in the capital, but heavy snow and ice brought some highways in the south of China to a standstill. Thousands were stranded in their cars. Dozens of trains were delayed or suspended, and passengers were stuck at Wuhan railway station for hours. These ladies have a long journey north to see their 90-year-old mum, and they're doing all they can to ensure this year is lucky.
I was born in the dragon year, so this year I bought red clothes and red pants for a prosperous and thriving new year.
I hope everyone has a safe new year and you all get money in your pockets.
Those left in Beijing settle in to their celebrations. Traditional costumes have become popular with young people, along with this one New Year wish. Money. Big money, she says. Whatever their dreams for the future, this week is for food and for family. And for many, this will be their first New Year together since the start of the pandemic. And they're determined to savour it. In China, I'm the BBC's Laura Bicker for Marketplace.
And just in case you didn't catch Singapore's Prime Minister's Lunar New Year's message, he's urging young couples to consider adding a little dragon to their families this year because Singapore, like many countries, has seen fertility rates decline. And just before you go, remember that uproar in Hong Kong over the no-show from the Argentine soccer star Lionel Messi? That was at an Inter-Miami exhibition match. Well, the organisers now say they'll refund 50% of the ticket price. And that's it from the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. My producer today was James Graham. Our editor is Joe Critcher. And I'm Leanna Byrne. Have a great weekend. Thanks for listening.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.